Well, good morning. It's fun to see you all again. We have some new ones, and it's just great to see our old faces that we are all loving. Okay, just put this right there. If you got one, Marley, a stool would be great. Today we are talking about pay me now or pay me later. I'm very qualified to talk on that because I have raised four children, and they are now, believe it or not, 49, 47, 46, and 42. So I have been in the pay me now. I have also paid some later, but if you go farther later, so wait, girls, our timing is not God's timing always. You will have the faithfulness of the Lord. So first of all, let's just say what this means, pay me now or pay me later. And first you have to decide what you want your child's character to be at 18, 19, and 20. And then you have to set your goals when they are 4, 5, 6, and 7. Because let me tell you, the time they're listening to you is from infancy to about 10. And then when they hit the teenage years, they think they know it all. Let me tell you, by the time they get to 13 or 14, they know everything you believe. It doesn't mean that you still don't give instruction, but they know it. And they really, you move toward senior year, and then they do know everything. And they kind of think that, oh, too bad, mom and dad are a little down here, but I'm okay. So that is why your best time is when they are young. That is when they're listening to you. That's when they're the most teachable. In fact, they have done a study, and Bill and I were on Campus Crusade staff, and we joined that. We became Christians through Campus Crusade at 21, but we joined that because to spread the gospel, and back in 1968, the age that most people, 80% of the people in America that accepted Christ accepted it before the age of 18. You know what it is now? And this was 5 years ago. I asked Paul Kroger that runs our Upward Soccer. He said now it's 12 and under. So 12 and under is your kids. So that's where we want to set our goals. Tony Evans, that's in your book, was one of the most well-known African-American pastors in America. Lives in Dallas. Actually went to seminary with my husband, Bill. And his daughter's Priscilla Shirey. You've read a lot of her Bible studies. But his comment, it is far easier to shape a child than to repair an adult. And man, does that not hit you. It is so much easier to shape a child than to repair an adult. I was going to show Alfredo, my husby Bill. A lot of you know him. He's pretty cute. There he is. So we've been married 51 years, and he was a preaching pastor here at Fellowship for about 40 of them. And now there's still a Parkinson. The most smart aleck kid I raised is in the pulpit, so pray for him. Okay. So if that is true, if it's far easier to shape a child than to raise an adult, than to repair an adult, you have to keep the goal in front of you of training your child now to learn to discipline. As Carrie said last week, all discipline should lead to self-discipline. Why? Because that leads children to growing and maturing in Jesus Christ, to become God followers. So what you've got to first decide is, do you want them to become godly kids or just kids that look good? And that's kind of where the world is right now. Godly kids are kids that follow God in God's way. They are wanting to please him, to be his disciple, and to live for him. Kids who just look good are the world's disciples. They are the ones that, and we as parents, this is where you have to check your pride at the door, ladies, because we as parents put this on our children. We want them to fit in. We want them to be popular. We want them to be good athletes. We want them to make the honor roll. So we can lift that up to our kids, is that is what our goal is for them. And that is not our goal for them. Because that will, number one, it'll pass away. No one asks you when you're 25, by the way, what were your grades in high school? Or, you know, what position did you play on the football team? They just don't. So, what will stand them in good stead is, do you have a godly character? So that's what we're aiming for. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with these things. They're not. It's just that they should not come above creating a godly character. I read a great quote by John Wooten. A few of you in here, Star and Nook, will know who he is. He was one of the best basketball coaches of all time. And his comment was that I loved. I thought it really, really hit. He says that you should be more concerned with character than with reputation. And character is what you are inside. Reputation is what you do. So, yes, you want to have a good reputation, but it will come out of your character that we're building into our children. You have to, and to do this, folks, you have to start with that relationship yourselves. So first you have to say, where am I in my commitment to Jesus Christ? Bill and I grew up in moral homes. They were not Christian homes. We didn't pray any time during the year except at Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. We cared about each other. It was a very loving home for me. Bill was kind of distant. But God was just something. I went to church on Sunday, and that was kind of it. And then as we went down to the University of Texas, there was a longing in my soul for something more. I just knew that something was missing in my life. My prayers just went to the ceiling. I would say I wasn't going to drink. I did. I'd say I'd only have two. I'd blow that. I just had no power to change myself. And at this time, Bill and I became Christians when we were 21. I was a junior, and then it took him 9 months longer. He's a slow learner. But but we just decided when we got married that June that we were going to plant a flag, and we were going to raise our family was going to be centered on God and was going to be a godly family. We had some wonderful teaching and that led us, because there weren't any Christian books back then. There weren't any parenting books. But we had a wise man that taught us out at Crusades headquarters. And that is really on family, Christian family, raising your children, and marriage. And that's what we raised our family on. But they were all God's principles. They're all right here. That's why they work. So, yes, discipline is hard work. But I'm standing here today to tell you and testify that it's worth every bit of it. Did we do it perfectly? Of course not. In fact, when Betsy was 10 years old, I totally caved to people-pleasing and what will they think of me. So the scenario is we're in our house in Marlow Manor, and Michelle called Betsy to go to the movie. She was about 10. And in the meantime, Betsy just sassed me. I can't remember what she said, but it was so disrespectful. And I knew in my heart I should say, you know what, you're not going to the movie. But I knew if I said that, they were already on their way over. I knew if I said that, I was going to disappoint Michelle, and Linda's going to go, well, what am I going to do? I thought I had them taken care of for 2 hours. So I totally caved and let her go. Now, I didn't cave other times, so she turned out well. But it's like that time I knew God was, and I did go back to Betsy and say, you know what, I should not have done that. And I just want you to know in the future, here's going to be the rules. So even moms make mistakes. And part of that sassiness came from her friends. So you need to be careful. She had two twins that lived in the neighborhood, and that's how they talked to their mom. And Betsy was with them all the time. And so all of a sudden I thought, where is this coming from? And I thought, it's who she's running with. So that's a key to look for. So let's look at what God has to say in the Bible. Galatians 6, 6 through 10. Do you have that back there, my sweet little tech? Yes, Alfredo. Okay. So this is a great, great passage. And you all were supposed to look up 6, 9 in your study today. But looking at this, when I went back and read the whole thing, I realized it's a map on how we're to raise our children. So let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 begins with, I'm going to have to look at this because that's not divided in verses. Let me find Galatians. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, and I had a friend over, and I had my red New American Standard Bible, and Izzy came in and said, Grandma, can I have your red Bible? I said, no, go in my bedroom and get my blue Bible. And so she comes back and she goes, Grandma, it's broken. So I love my broken Bible, and I thought only a 4-year-old would let that bother her. Anyway, so let's look at Galatians 6, 6 through 10, and it starts off with, it says, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Now that's talking about our teachers, but just take the first part. You are to share God's word. Everyone who is taught God's word is to share. So the first persons you share it with are your children, because we are here to make disciples. That's what God's called us to do. And our first disciples should be our children. Verse 7, it says here, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. So you will harvest what you plant. We've all heard the little statement, you reap what you sow. So what you plant is what you will harvest. If you're too busy to do it, if you think I'll do it tomorrow, I'm too tired tonight, I mean, you'll end up reaping not children that are centered in the Bible, that know the Bible. I mean, you can sing songs and you're going to be tired. I knew I'd make mistakes. I just didn't want to have any regrets. So I did make mistakes, but I will say that I was involved with my children. And that should just be present. Turn off the electronics. Look them in the eye. Oh, gosh, my grandkids, I taught them on this summer. We were down in Texas driving somewhere, and I didn't want them looking at their little iPods. I mean, you know, Hello Kitty and My Little Pony. Anyway, they're cute, but let's just do something more fun and interactive. So I started teaching them all the songs that my mom taught us in the car, because we didn't have that. So now Sam and Izzy thinks it's great. They go, Grandma, let's sing car songs. So we have our car songs. I mean, Old Susanna, these are songs that no one even knows anymore. But my grandkids do know them. So have fun with them. But you want to plant that in your heart. Tell them Bible stories. Read them Bible stories. And make sure you make a difference between the Bible stories are true. Disney is pretend and make believe. And I did this. I remember when I think it was Allie and Caroline, and they were little, and I just started making a game out of it. And so we had read our Bible stories of Daniel and the lion's den and David and Goliath. So I would say, okay, we're gonna play a game. You tell me. I said, David and Goliath, is that a true story or pretend? They go, true, about 4 years old. And then I said, okay, Little Mermaid, true story or pretend? Pretend. So, you know, they will get into it, and that's where you can show them that everything in here is true and that all the other stories you read, they're fun, but they're pretend, and we want them to base their lives on God's truth. Verse 8 said, if you follow a worldly path, you will reap corruption. Reaping corruption just means they're gonna take the world's way. They're going to get involved in things the world get involved in. And Proverbs 10:1. And this is not up there, but Proverbs 10:1, you can write that down. It says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings sorrow to his mother. And that is true, ladies, because our children are kind of our main responsibility. They are our job. We're with them more than our husbands. It does bring sorrow to our heart. But if you plant God's Spirit in your children's heart, you will reap eternal rewards. It says that. It says that in verse 8. It says, but the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And I want y'all to know, eternal life doesn't just start when you get to heaven. Eternal life starts down here on earth. So from the minute you receive Christ, and even if your little child has or hasn't, they can begin to experience eternal life just by living by God's principles. You know, a non-Christian that lives by God's principles will have a more successful life in marriage than a Christian who is not living by God's principles, because God's truths are the truth, and they are real. So you will see that. Sometimes I think, how come this one Hollywood guy, you know, I thought, man, he is just so in tune to his wife and everything else. And I thought, and his marriage is lasting. And I thought, you know why? It was Alan Alda. I thought, because when I read the way he thinks about his wife and treats her, I thought, oh, they're all biblical. I don't think he knows the Lord, but he's living that way. So his life is more successful than even a Christian who's not. Okay, we have the opportunity to do good. That was verse 10, the last one says, verse 9 was our key verse that you looked up. It says, and do not grow weary and give up, because in due season you will reap your reward. And let me tell you, that is, you will be tempted to give up. I so wanted to give up. I'm going to tell you that story in a minute. But you hang in there, and God will see you through it. Just remember, you're never alone. Hebrews 13:5. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, and then verse 10 says, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Who is the household of faith? Are our children. I mean, that is who we are to do good to, first and foremost, our children and our husband. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story, and I've had his permission, of Bill Jr., and He was my firstborn. Yes, I spanked him more than the others. Yes, I punished him more than the others. Yes, he went to kindergarten, and I went, you can't, we haven't finger painted yet. But anyway, you just do things with your first one. You know, Howard Hendricks, who taught Bill in seminary, he said, and you just have to take this the right way. He said, you really learn how to parent with your first one. He said, it'd almost be good if we just kind of put him over here and start over again. And I thought, you know, so, but don't, I mean, Bill is my most sensitive child. We are the most different of all four of mine, but he is my most sensitive one. He's the one when I was going through struggles in my marriage, was sitting in church and crying. I had Ben on one side, Daniel on the other. I had this tall, gangly kid, and I would just feel this hand reach over and start patting me. So let me tell you, those sensitive ones, they kind of get off the rails sometimes faster, but they will be a blessing to you moms. So I did get his permission. I could talk about Ben. He was cocky. He was very disrespectful. We went through that period. Betsy was into it's not fair. If I heard that once, I heard that 15 million times. Daniel was the perfect child because he was the fourth, and he just watched what everybody else did and didn't do it, so he didn't get spankings. So anyway, that was my, that, oh, so here we are. This is, let's see, Paula, go back to Bill. This is Bill at two. So there he is with my dad playing. And what I want you to see, folks, I'm just going to flip through his life, but I want you to see, this is where some of your kids are. Do you see that innocent little baby? I never thought he would be cutting curfew, you know, coming home from a school dance by the principal, you know, because he had imbibed in alcohol. I mean, I didn't see that coming when he was 1 and a half. So I'm just saying that's why it's so important to teach your children of the Lord. I mean, that kid could not do that at a church, I mean, at a school dance. But there's my little pumpkin, and he was precious. And then at 12, 12 was not Bill's, it was kind of his gangly period, but that was my one. I made 4 cakes a year on everybody's birthday, so that was one of them. Anyway, so here's my crowd. So yes, I did. I was there with you all. And at that age, he was fun. He was mowing the yard. He was teaching Daniel how to mow. And then you move up to 18. So here we are. There we go. So, Bill's in college, just first year. Ben and Betsy are getting ready to go. My first three were within 3 years. So that was, I've been there, girls, where you are, no sleep. But he's cute, but there's a look there. Do you see the look? There's a look. There's a look. He's not so sure, and you will hear why there is a look. And at that point, he'd begin to make some poor choices, and so he was grounded for 2 months because he was grounded for 1 month, which at the beginning of his senior year, we just kind of went through some house rules, and we just said, well, if you break them, what do you think the penalty ought to be? So he came up with it. Ground him for a month. And if you ask them, they will put consequences tougher than what you would, because A, they don't think they're going to do it, or if they do, they don't think they're going to get caught. So it's like when we actually wrote a contract and both signed it, because he was my one. School was tough for Bill, and we just said, you keep this grade point. You know, here's the house rules, and then we're not going to, you have to be in on school nights. I've got other children, but weekends, you set your time. You know, it's whether you come in or not, that's up to you, because they're going to college the next year. So it's better if they're going to fail, they fail when they're under your roof. So he was grounded, and he was also grounded from the phone. We had landlines back then. So I go to Christmas, and I come back, and Jane Ann Smith says, oh, it was so cute. Bill called Marcy every day while he was in Dallas over Christmas. I said, oh, really? And she said, wasn't I supposed to tell you that? I said, yes, you were. So he was grounded for another month. But we had the best time with Bill, to be honest with you, when he was grounded, because you know what? He didn't have to say no to his friends. We said no for him. And so we really had a good time then. He was struggling with just not going along with the crowd. At the end, after his senior year, when he was going off to college, his dad actually asked him, he said, you know, Bill, would you like to do a Bible study this summer before you go? And Bill just looked, we were out on the front porch, and Bill just looked at him and said, no, not really. And then he said, you know, he said, you and Mom have taught me that Jesus Christ is the only thing that works. He said, now I got to decide if I want it for myself. And he turned around and went back in the house. And I thought, boy, if we've told him If we've taught him by our lives that Jesus Christ is the only thing that works, so you got to model it. They're watching you. And he had seen us pray over things. He had seen us pray for support. He'd seen us pray for hard issues, divorces, grandkids, nieces and nephews that were having children out of wedlock, getting into drugs. I wept over those. So he had seen us. He said, "You've convinced me Jesus Christ is the only thing that works, but I've got to decide if I want it for myself." And when he went back in the house, I looked at Bill and I said, "Well, you know what? We've done our job. Now we just got to get on our knees and pray." And for the next 6 years, I didn't ask him. I knew where he was, and I had to let go. And I did not ask him one spiritual thing. God just said, "Nope." And I decided I was going to think of anything positive I could. I don't care if it's just, "Gee, your car looks great. You did a great job washing it." I was going to look for whatever I could. Now, I want to tell you, ladies, when your kids go to college, your stock goes up. Because they think everybody has parents like you. And you know what? They don't. So Bill brought home a crowd from Fayetteville, and he walked in the door. He said, "Mom, I've got an extra." He said, Hal came, and I didn't, he was an extra guy. And I said, "Fine, just put your stuff upstairs." Because one thing you can show them is if you love their friends, you're loving them. And so I heard this boy going up the stairs, and he goes, "God, I can't believe your mom responded like that. Mine would have taken my head off." So I thought, you just continue love. It's not, now you had to abide by house rules. You didn't drink when you were on our yard in our house, so we had our house rules that you had to abide by when you came home. And he had to maintain a certain grade point average in college, or he was going to have to drop out and earn money and pay for it himself. So you can have your ways, but basically they've got to get out there and figure out life for themselves. And I will say this, we begin to see some changes in Bill his junior year, and one of the best, most precious things is when he would come back and go to church. And I told him, I said, "When you come back here, it's up to you if you want to go to church or not." Well, you know what's funny? He used to cut, we used to have Sunday morning youth in this church. He used to cut that. I didn't know it because we met down in Breckenridge, and he and a friend would go to McDonald's. But anyway, he would cut that. He was always in church with us, but in college, I said, "Hey, whether you go to church or not, that's up to you." But he would end up showing up every Sunday he was home. And then all of a sudden, his junior year, he put money in the offering plate. I'd never seen him put money in the offering plate. And I remember telling a friend, Robert Lewis, who was one of our pastors, I said, "I know that's a little thing." He said, "Ann, that's a big thing." So, but the sweet thing is when he walked in this door, and this is where I challenge you all to love on each other's kids, to lift them up. And I want to tell you, if you see a kid going off the rails, man, did I ever need, it was Marley Jones's mom and Jane Ann Smith were the two that would call me and say, "Yoo-hoo." And it's because their sweet daughters told their mom what my son was doing. And so and to the point that the one time he got caught again, and he was going up the stairs with his friend Brian, and he said, "I think my mom's got my body bugged. She finds out everything I do." And I thought, that, and you pray for that. You pray, "God, you show me." And my best friend Judy would say, "I told my daughter, you may get away with some things, but you will not get away with all of it because God is watching you, and he's going to tell me." So you need good friends. So if you see someone going off the rails, you need to just call and let their parents know, because you'd want to know, wouldn't you, if your kid was headed in the wrong direction? In Hebrews 11:12, so at this point, Hebrews 11:12. Well, let's go on. It says, "And find a good prayer partner for your kids." I want to say that. When I was raising mine, the elders' wives, there were only 12 of us, and we would get together every month. Star Boschetti, where are you? Uh-huh. So Star and myself prayed for Mick and Bill. They were our two kind of renegades, and we prayed for them for 20 years. We prayed for them from the time they were little all the way through their rebellious childhood, teenage years, into their 20s. It took some longer than the others, but I want to tell you, God has brought those kids back. So, but you need someone that's confidential, that you can trust, but find a prayer partner. I cannot tell you how that will encourage your heart. And we need that. So, but now we can switch to Bill. So at 25, here we are. This is one of my favorite pictures. I had an older one, but I love this one because look at Dan. You can't see his other hand, but he's got his other hand around Ben. And I love that this little brother that they all love the most, he was a senior in high school. But there Bill is at 25. He came back, waited tables for 2 years after college, could not find a job. That kind of was very defeating. He was really getting depressed. And at this point, a man in our church started an early morning Bible study and challenged Bill to get in it. And you know what? He was ready. So he went to that Bible study. Jim Strong said, you know what? He was my most faithful one. He was closing down at Shorty Smalls at 1:30, and he was there at 6:30 in the morning for this Bible study, or 6. And he said he always had his lesson done. During that year is when he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, he was ready. He was ready. It was his choice, and he was ready. So you have to... And he had accepted Christ as a young kid at 5. Two of my kids know when they did. They were 5. One, Bill, was through Vacation Bible School. Thank you for the Baptist Church and all those verses on sin. He got it. And disobeyed me and turned on the light, and I went and got Bill, and he was crying, and he knew what sin was. And you know, but then here's the deal. When they're 16 and they get those car keys, that's when you find out what's really here. I mean, and he was just solid, and something happened at 13. We changed youth group leaders, and I don't know what it was, but at that point, he started getting sucked in with some peers and some not good things. But God, but it was there. It was, but he, for him to surrender, it had to be his choice and his time, and that's hard to wait for. So what are we going to do? We've got on your paper and your outline at the end, it's set godly goals. Yes, keys to discipline. Okay, so number one, you have to set godly goals, because you've heard the old thing, if you don't have anything, you know, let me say it this way, if you have nothing to aim for, you are guaranteed to miss it. So there you go. You've got to have goals, and it's great if you can sit down and talk about these with your husband, but let me tell you something, girls, if you don't have a spouse that's in this with you or that's interested right now in spiritual things, you can do this. You can do this yourself. We've got single women. Some of my best friends in this church have been single women and have raised their children. And what I have seen, I worked in youth for 20 years with a lot. Nookie's still here. Star and I and Mike, we held up the youth group for those years with many others. But what I saw just watching those teenagers, because a lot of them, you know, it wasn't fun. It's not fun being a leader, and you got to go say, okay, I'll give you 1 week to tell your parents you're smoking, or then we're going to go together. I mean, that is, I don't like confrontation, but I'll do it because I care more about where those young people are in their walk with the Lord than I do about what people think about me. And that's where you have to be with your children. Do you care more about their spiritual life? Do you care more about them doing right than your pride, what other people think? It's just a battle we fight, girls. I fought it, and I'm still fighting it to some respect. So, but set those goals. But what I'm saying is, I have a dear friend whose husband left when her girls were in high school, what I was going to say is, by teaching youth for 20 years, what I saw is the parents that lived it 24/7. And it can be one parent that lived it 24/7 than just the ones that showed up on Sunday. The ones that lived it 24/7, those kids may have spiraled, but you know what? I'm telling you, except 90% come back. The ones whose parents are just kind of living, I mean, faking the Christian life, the question mark is still there for some of their kids. They're still out there. Now, I want to tell you, I have a dear friend who, she and her husband are as solid in Christ as Belle and I were. She raised her kids just like mine, and she has one that's still out there. She's 42. Her daughter and Daniel graduated from high school together, but I want to tell you what. She said to me, she said, Ann, I'm praying for her. I will never stop. And she said, I know the Lord will bring her, whether I'm here on this earth to see it or whether I'm home in heaven. So don't ever give up. But there is... there is a guarantee God's word is true, but on the other hand, God has to draw them. It's not up to us. He has to do it. So you don't need to be fearful, but you need to know that it's up to Him. It's not up to you. So it's, we can do all the right things and still have one that struggles. But God, and what I had a dear friend in a Bible study, and I loved it. Her son was into drugs, and then we thought he got his girlfriend pregnant and all this stuff. And I remember Lisa's comment was, instead of just whoa and just going down on this son, her comment was, well, he's just working on his testimony. And I thought, what a great way to put it. So I thought, I like that. He's just working on his testimony. And you know what? This young man, I mean, she went through an early divorce. He had a huge father wound. He ended up going up and staying with his father because he was so out of control. He was 19. His dad had been a policeman, real hard-nosed. Well, he'd become a Christian. They ended up, anyway, this young man is now living for Christ. So he was working on his testimony. And it's not that you want them to experience those things, but let me tell you, God doesn't waste anything. He will use that, not only in your child's life, but he'll use that for them to minister to somebody else too. Just going along, the goals for our children can be obedience to parents is one of our first goals that we would like to have. That's in Ephesians 6, if you just want to jot that down. To honor and respect your parents, we definitely want to teach them that one. That's in Hebrews 12, 9. Care for your parents. That's even more important as I'm 73. Wait a minute. Yeah, 1 Timothy 5, 4. I need to email that to my children. Okay. Integrity and honesty, we want that to be in their character catch, if you want to put it that way. Psalm 101:2, I loved what that said. Psalm 101:2 says, to you, O Lord, I will make music. And then the second part of that verse says, I will walk with integrity of the heart within my house. Is that not what we want? We want our children to walk with integrity within our house. Oh, and I didn't show, jump back, Paolo, I didn't show the end of Bill's story. And I've told his story so many times, and I've decided, and so here is my son today with his family, his wife Jessica. He's got three children. Whit is in college. Caroline's 16. Thomas is 15. Yeah. So, and Caroline's the baby, if y'all were here last year, I talked about that almost lost her at birth. So God has, and let me tell you, here's the deal. You don't know what your kids are going to go through. So when I'm raising this young man, and this little boy, and I'm showing him how faithful God is and how he can be there in hard times, I don't know that at 31 he's going to have a daughter born that has 20% chance to live and is on life supports for 12 days. And we were just 2 days from pulling the plug. And he was just starting his building business, and he would be down there during the day. He'd take Jessica home to stay with the Whit was three, and he'd go back at 2. And I mean, I said, Bill, why are you going back at 2? He said, Mom, because the nurses, everybody's touching her all day. And he said, if I go back at 2 and no one's touched her, he said, sometime when I stroke her leg, she moves her toe. And I just thought, that's the love of a dad that has grown up in a family where a dad loved him, a mom loved him. And let me tell you, after Bill's whoop in college, about 2 years after that, we were going around the table at Thanksgiving, and my husband just said, just pray for the person on your left. And I just happened to be the person on Bill Jr.'s left. And his prayer was, thank you, God, for a mom that never gave up on me. Do you think those nights that I cried, that I stayed up pleading with the Lord, that it wasn't worth it all? It was worth it all. So when you're training your kids, you're also training them to raise their kids and to go through some, we don't know what. But I am so proud of that son. I'm going to Rwanda. He invited me for dinner Sunday night. I couldn't do it. It was my D group. But he just said, well, Mom, I heard you were going to Rwanda. He lives out in the, boondocks, out Highway 300. And we don't see them as often as the ones in town. But he just said, I just wanted to see you before you go. So there you go, kids. You got that. You're knitting it together when they're 1 to 12. You're knitting that together, sitting on your lap, reading stories. Okay, as we go on, I just want you to know that they can learn from an early age. Timothy talked about he learned from his mother. Paul said, you learned from your mother Eunice. Be glad your mother didn't name you Eunice. You learned from your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. And then he goes on, and so it's grandmother and mother. Then we don't know where the dad was in that family. And then he goes on in 2 Timothy 3:15, and he said, you have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood. And he said, and they have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes from trusting in Christ. And there was another version of the Bible I looked up, and it says, you have been taught the holy scriptures from infancy. So we can sing them songs, we can read them stories from infancy. And then you just heap on lots of love and praise. Back to that, our outline again. Thank you. Be consistent. I've already talked about that. When Bill was grounded, we were grounded. When you say your no, you have to be sure you follow through on your no. Heap on lots of love and praise. 1 Peter 5:8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. That's on there. There we go. And then trust the Lord with your children. Just remember that he loves them more than you do. And never forget, God gave you these children. They are on loan for us for a while. And he loved them, and he loved them enough. He does love them more than we do, and we know this because he loved them enough to die for us. And I love that song that goes, and I will not sing it because I tried last year and I can't, but I'm going to read it to you. But it says, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he do? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. God bless. You're dismissed.